I want to talk about our daily fellowship with God, which I preach a lot on, but it's the importance of it. Could one of the boys get me a jug of water? Let the boys get it. That's right, you can get it. Thank you. So the times are getting rougher and rougher. And thank you, sir. And we, when we learn doctrine, we hardly ever forget that. But boy, just the things that we need to remember every day, we have so much trouble with. Satan just steals it away. And coming into the times that I really believe, I said this Wednesday night, and it just seems like every day it goes by that unless God intervenes some way, there could be another civil war in this country. And you say, well, that's kind of negative. Well, I'm just telling you, if you look at what's going on, and it's between right and wrong, but there is such a demonic spirit over the country, that people are here's the problem: people are morally insane today. They have no morals. The morals that they've got is taken from something. I don't know what. It's taken from a worldly system, and that's what we're facing today. And I pray God it doesn't. I mean, really, it's getting harder to make a statement that you're a Christian and act like a Christian and care about things that are just right. And the only way that's going to continue is the Christian's walk with the Savior. Because you all know as well as I do, when we quit fellowshipping with Him and our daily walk with Him, we start doing what the world does. That's just the way we are. I mean, we revert to the flesh. So in 1 Corinthians chapter 1, we're going to look at this, a daily fellowship with God, and I'll make some statements about when I should think it should be done, but here's the simple fact of it is I understand a lot of people can't get up and have their devotions like in the morning, but the simple fact of it is when the Lord allows you to do it, okay, because a lot of times you can only have 10 or 15 minutes on your way to work, or you may sit down at night and read, and amen. So this is not, not enough preachers has to go out and work for a living to understand that just getting up sometime and getting that done in the morning, it's just not possible. So keep that in the back of your mind. But that doesn't alleviate or do away with the need that we need to be in contact with Him daily. Amen. And that's the thing, because that keeps your nose above water in a drowning wave. And let's go to the Lord in prayer before we start. Father, again, we do thank You for Your goodness, Your mercy, and Your grace. How good You are to Your people, Lord. And we see what's coming down the pike. We're Jason's teaching the book of Daniel, and we're in the book of Revelation, and so we know what it's getting. The time is drawing near, and we see what's going on. We see that it's getting almost like it was in the days of Noah. So we see what it's coming, and we understand that time is drawing near, and we understand the pressure that's being manipulated and put on people, whether they're saved or lost. And we understand the wicked spirit that's going on, that's developing and seem to be working in our country and all over the world. And Lord, we need to understand that and have this just driven in our minds that this is our, you are our help. You are the one that takes care of us. The world can do what it wants, but Lord, you only allow what you want to come onto your people. And Lord, when you do, we know that you'll give us grace. But we need to be in fellowship with you. That should not be broken. And we know there's days that go by that it's not going to happen. But we also know that if there is that steady daily fellowship with you, and then there's times when we can't do it, that we notice something's missing. And we know that you're not going to beat us to death over that. But you'll just lovingly help us get back to it. So help us, Lord. If we hadn't established that daily fellowship with you, we need to. Because that's our survival kit. That will keep us above what's going on. This will keep us from getting a bitter attitude about things. So help us, Lord. And we'll thank you for it. In thy name we pray. Amen. So in 1 Corinthians chapter 1, and verse 4, it says, I thank my God always on your behalf for the grace of God which is given you by Jesus Christ. Now, ain't that something? You've been given grace, whether you realize it or not. Now, this is not talking about salvation. That in everything you are enriched by him in all utterance and in all knowledge, even as the testimony of Christ was confirmed in you, so that ye come behind in no gift, waiting for the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ, who shall also confirm you unto the end, that you may be blameless in the day of our Lord Jesus Christ. God is faithful, by whom ye were called unto this fellowship of his Son, Jesus Christ our Lord. Now look at that. God is faithful, by whom ye were called unto the fellowship. See, when you got saved, you was called to a calling of fellowship with him. That's an amazing thing. She would say, well, I'm waiting for God to call me. Well, no, you've been called. The moment you got saved, you were called into this fellowship with him. And now understand, only a saved person can be called into fellowship with him, a born-again child of God. That's amazing. Really, it is. And so we need. You say, well, I don't feel called. Well, then maybe, I mean, you better check your salvation. Because that says if you're saved, you were called unto this fellowship that he desires and through Jesus Christ. Now take your Bible and go to your right. Go to Philippians. Philippians chapter 3. Philippians chapter 3. And we're talking about this daily fellowship, or when you can, you know, and I understand it can't happen all the time. But when you can't do it, it ought to be a strange thing. And it ought to make you feel kind of different. That, well, I didn't get to talk to, you know, if you didn't get to talk to your mate all day long, I don't know, some cases that may be good. I don't know, but not so with your Savior. Amen. So Philippians chapter 3, look at verse 9. And be found in him, not having my own righteousness, which is of the law, but that which is through the faith of Christ, the righteousness which is of God by faith, that I may know him and the power of his resurrection and the fellowship of his sufferings. Now, wait a minute. I don't like that fellowship. Well, that's part of it, though. and the fellowship of his suffering, being made conformable unto his death. And that's the sticker there. That fellowship, each day that we spend a little time with him in his word, according to the Bible, then he's conforming us unto his death. Now you say, well, why in the world, why would it say death instead of life? I want to be life. Well, the simple fact of it is, it's talking about you can't live for him unless you died with him. And as sure as Jesus Christ was on that cross and died, he took your sin and your life, and it died with him. What? That old flesh, that old nature, that body that's always giving you in trouble, that old nature that keeps rearing its empty head. Christ reiterates this thing again, that when he died on the cross, and now you wasn't physically there, but as God's perspective, remember that's what we talked about in Sunday school, the way God looks at it, is when you receive Christ as your Savior, God looks at it as you was hanging, your body was hanging there with him on that cross. That means you're dead. Now, something dead just does not sin. It doesn't do anything. It goes in the ground, and that's what he's talking about. So he says, being made conformable unto his death. How do we get that? How do we understand that? The only way you're going to understand that is through fellowshipping with him and hearing his word taught and reading it. That's the only way you're going to get a hold of this thing, is through communion and fellowship of him and his word. That's the only way it's going to happen. That's why we have so many Christians today that's trying to live a Christian life without Jesus Christ. Oh, they're saved. But they know that Christ died and paid the penalty for sin. But that thing of a new life, they think about that in heaven. That is not talking about heaven. That's talking about here. And when he was resurrected to a new life. And that's why if you're dead, that he died, we're there with him, and that's what that thing is talking about. Now look at it again. Go to 1 John, way over toward the book of Revelation. 1 John chapter 1. We have to get the right perspective, and that's what our relationship with him, that is this fellowship with him daily, this is where it develops. Again, how does a couple, how do they become, it's through fellowship. It's pretty hard to have a long distance relationship. Believe me, Joy and I've, it's been going on 4 years. We probably never marry. Why? We're 400 mile apart. We don't fellowship. Now, if we did, it might be. But the simple thing of it is, it's that connection, that fellowship is what draws and makes the connection, and to where two people will start thinking alike. And of course, our perspective is, we want to start looking at things the way Jesus Christ does. So 1 John chapter 1, look at verse 6. If we say that we have fellowship with him and walk in darkness, we lie and do not the truth. But if we walk in the light as he is in the light, we have fellowship one with another, and the blood of Jesus Christ his Son cleanseth us from all sin. So the first and chief need of our Christian life is fellowship with Jesus Christ. That's what we've been talking about. The divine life within us comes from God, and it is entirely dependent upon him. Just as I need now to draw a fresh breath of air when the one's gone, I need another fresh breath of air from God just to live. as in the days of old when the Hebrew children were given manna for one day. But when that next morning came, what, it corrupted itself and became rotten except on that seventh day. And so it was needed a new supply of manna for that day. So is the only in direct living communication with God that my soul and my spirit can be strengthened to live the way I need to. And that's only through fellowship with Him. Each day the Christian needs a time to be before their Savior. Sometime. And I'll reiterate again. Sometimes I know it's not possible. But sometimes, most of the time it is. Even a small time. And we let that thing slip. Oh, how we let it slip. And we let Him, we draw nigh to Him so that He can touch us. Take time to meet with Jesus Christ. And to this, let your first act in your devotions be to setting yourself still before God in prayer and worship. Everything depends upon Jesus Christ taking the chief place in our life. The Bible says He must increase. And that's what it's about. Sometime during that day, and if it's at night, pray for that night and through the day and for the next morning, that Lord, that I'll yield myself to You. But that time with Him alone needs to be. The Bible says in Psalm, let us come before His presence with thanksgiving and make a joyful noise unto Him with psalms. It says in Hebrews chapter 12, wherefore we receive a kingdom which cannot be moved. Let us have grace whereby we may serve God acceptable with reverence and godly fear. Just a little time to show Him that He is God, that He is Lord of my life. He doesn't demand a lot. So it doesn't take a lot of time. But you know what the devil does? You know what the devil does. Too many things to do, not enough time to do it. Now, when you've given Him His place of honor and glory and power, Revelation 4:11, it says, for Thou art worthy, O Lord, to receive glory and honor and power. For Thou hast created all things, and for Thy pleasure they are and were created. Then you take your place of the deepest lowliness. Lift Him up, and you proceed to go where you need to be. Where's that? At His feet. Remember what He told Mary and Martha, says, she won't help me. And He says, Martha, Martha, thou art cumbered about with so many things, but she desires this. And she thought that the Lord would rebuke Mary. No, she was right where she needed to be. We need to understand that things in this world, and I mean good, we talked about this in Sunday school, good things will mess you up with your walk with God. Because good things can be done from the soul and the flesh. And we cannot please God in the flesh. So good, doing our good things, and I'm not being facetious in the least, but doing our good things sometime is against God, what He desires for us. So remember, He needs the preeminence in our life. And He desires that. Well, if He's got the preeminence, then we automatically understand where our position is. It's at His feet, being thankful. Amen? And so that's what we need to understand. we give him his place and his honor. Then take our place. The Bible says, humble yourselves in the sight of the Lord, and he shall lift you up. That's what we need to understand. Remember, Paul said, when I am weak, then I am strong. That is totally contrary to the way we think. We need a different perspective about things. When I'm weak, then I'm strong. Look at 1 Peter. You're there in John. Just back up to your left a little bit to 1 Peter. 1 Peter chapter 5. Just something simple today to try to get our minds back where we need to be during the week. Because we're all so busy. Good stuff. That's just a way of life. But if we're not finding that time to come before him and allow him the preeminence in our life, then what we will do will be in the flesh. And that doesn't please God. So here in 1 Peter chapter 5, look at verse 5. Likewise, you younger, submit yourselves unto the elders. Yea, all of you, be subject one to another, and be clothed with humility. For God resisteth the proud, and giveth grace to the humble. These are not new verses, folks. Mary humbled herself, found her place where she needed to be in front of the Savior, and God gave her grace. Now, I don't know about you, but I like when the Lord gives me grace. I really do. But the only place that's going to be at his throne, before him, in the position that we know where grace comes from. And so he says, and giveth grace to the humble. Humble yourselves, therefore, under the mighty hand of God, that he may do what? Exalt you in due time. Now, we always like that. And see, here, when God exalts you, when he lifts you up, there's not a guilty feeling about it. There's not a prideful, guilty, ashamed feeling about it, because you understand that God has lifted you up. Without it, there's guilt and shame and everything else that will come on us. And then, and notice it's in due time. When God understands, when God sees your heart that's humbled in due time, then in verse 7 says, casting all your cares upon him, for he careth for you. Now, how often do we forget that during the day? When everything in the world is going on, all kinds of troubles, and you think, what do you mean? Take time to pray about it? Yeah. Yeah. Casting, don't just lay them there with vengeance. Cast them there. Give them there. Casting all your cares upon him, for he careth for you. That means he takes that burden. He takes that worrisome thought. He takes that whatever it is and takes care of that thing for you. You know what he does? He changes your attitude about it. And you understand that, you know what? I'm not carrying this anymore. It's not grievous to me. It's not a burden to me. He says, come unto me, you that labor and heavy laden, and I'll give you rest. Take my yoke upon and learn of me, for I am meek and lowly. See, that's our Savior. And that's all he's asking. And you know what? We forget that all the day, don't we? Because we get to fretting and worrying. Oh, I can get that away. Just ask my son, I'll get worked up. And the Lord said, really? This ain't going to happen? Oh my goodness, what if this happens? And what did I say the other time? 99, most of the time you think of what will happen never happens. But can't we fester something up in our brain? and it will drive you crazy. It will put you in a state of depression. It will make your body sick. It'll give you a heart attack. We are not designed to carry stress, a Christian. Christ says, take your stress, casting all your stress upon on Him. He'll care for you. Doesn't bother Him a bit. Because He carried it all the world at one time. Casting all your cares upon Him. Christians take time every day to get very low and humble as you can before God. And during the day, when these things come on you, Lord, this thing is overwhelming me. It's a battle between our minds, between our ears, inner mind. Amen? Paul said, I'm weak, then I'm strong. It's a battle. Our example is Jesus Christ. Look, back up, go to Ephesians chapter 4. Ephesians chapter 4. I'll tell you, right after the book of Galatians, Ephesians chapter 4. And folks, we're not going to get away from it. If you think you're going to get away from that thing, you're not. It's going to come on you. The temptations, the fretting, the fear, it's going to come on you almost every day. The stress, but it should not overcome us. It should not overwhelm us. And I watch people and that will just get in tears. The stress will just, and He's given us a way to escape. But in Ephesians chapter 4, again, Christ is our example. Look at verse 7. But unto every one of us is given grace according to the measure of the gift of Christ. Well, He's without measure. And Romans says, where sin abounded, grace did much more abound. Wherefore He saith, when He ascended up on high, He led captivity captive and gave gifts unto men. Now that He ascended, what is it but that He also descended first into the lower parts of hell? See, all that stuff that we fret about and worry about every day, He dealt with. It's been done. He that descended is the same that also that ascended. It didn't keep Him there. He got over it. He that descended is the same also that ascended up far above all heavens, that He might fill all things, not some of them, all things that can come in your life as a born-again believer. Today, when everything, you look at the world and you look at our what's going on around the world and He's above that. And we can live above that. We can have the right attitude. We're in it, but we're not of it. We're of Christ. It's as far above all the heavens that He might fill all things. That's our Savior. Even Christ, before He was lifted up, He went down just to do the will of our Father. The Bible says, verily, verily, I say unto you, except a corn of wheat fall into the ground and die, and that's our problem. Remember what we started out with? We don't reckon ourselves to be dead. Except a corn of wheat fall into the ground and die, where do we need to find our place every day? Like a dead man at His feet. Sometime. You don't have to be physically, But your mind, putting your mind there, Lord, I must decrease, you must increase. It's going to abide alone. Death is an absolute must for us every day. To reckon it so. Why? That I don't have to abide alone. Because when I don't recognize that death to self, I'm in the flesh. The Spirit of God is not working. I'm abiding alone. I'm trying to do the thing myself. It just doesn't work very well, does it? As the saying, how's that working out for you? It doesn't. So, but if I die, it bringeth forth much fruit. Daily dying. Paul says, I die daily. What do he mean that? He meant, I'm reckoning that I'm on that cross. I've got to remember and look at this thing the right way. And when that thing is dead, I don't have to pay any attention to it. Every day. And that's what he's getting at. Then and only then, accept and value your place in Jesus Christ. Oh, what a place. See, that's it. Go to Romans chapter 8 real quick. That's the only, when we find our place there, every day, as much as possible, only then, and accept the value of your place in Jesus Christ. You know what? We think that thing cheap. We was on the cross with him. We was, as God's perspective, we was buried with him and we rose with him. That's the way God looks at it. And when we remind ourselves of that, because why? Satan messes with our mind, steals it. And we take much value in that thing, then we can remember what God done for us. In Romans 8, these are great verses, folks. Nothing new. Verse 37, nay, in all these things we are more than conquerors through him that loved us. For I am persuaded that neither death, nor life, nor angels, nor principalities, nor powers, nor things present, nor things to come, nor height, nor depth, or any other creature shall be able to separate us from the love of God, which is in Christ Jesus our Lord. But you know what? Satan's trick is to mess with your mind, to remove that out of your mind every day. So you think you're alone, there's no hope, and make you feel like an unsaved person, that there's just no hope. Folks, that's why we have to stay on it. You have a great hope. It's Jesus Christ. When we just need to learn to figure out how to get there every day for him to reinstate that and reassure us of that thing. See, you can't lose your salvation, but you can lose your assurance of salvation. The devil will steal your assurance. Make you think, you know, the devil cannot destroy your place in Christ and your walk with Christ. But you know what he can do? He can make you think that you have. It's all a perspective. And that's what we don't do. And the only way for us to get that thing back daily is to be daily, get some time with him. We get our thinker straight. It's all right there. It's all right there. Remember, pleased that God delights in nothing but his beloved Son, and can be satisfied with nothing else in those who draw nigh to him, except he sees his Son. Look at Matthew chapter 3. Matthew chapter 3. Look at verse 16. And Jesus, when he was baptized, went up straightway out of the water, and lo, the heavens were open unto him, and he saw the Spirit of God descending like a dove and lighting upon him. And lo, a voice from heaven saying, "This is my beloved Son, in whom I am well pleased." So when he sees you with his Son at the throne of grace, he's well pleased. Why? Because he sees his Son with you. It's not because of us, but it's because of him. In Christ, you are, now think about this, nothing new. In Christ, you are well-pleasing and accepted. You don't have to. If you're a born-again child of God, you've done everything you need to do to be accepted. Ephesians 1 says, "To the praise of the glory of his grace, wherein he hath made us accepted in the beloved." So when God looks at us and he sees us at the throne of grace with our place where we need to be, at that foot of that throne, God looks at us through Jesus Christ and it's pleasing to him. It's acceptable. We are acceptable. Think about it. The God of the universe says that we can be acceptable in his sight. What? When we're fellowshipping with his Son. That's quite a deal. When you're spending that little bit of time in Christ, that avails you to all day long to be with Christ within the veil at the Holy of Holies, the throne of grace. And you have access into the very heart and to the love of the Heavenly Father. Now think about that. Just that when you come to him, and that puts you there, that place, all day long, as long as you're, think about that. And this is the great object of fellowship with Christ, that I may have more of God in my life, and that God may see Jesus Christ formed in me. And that's what it says. He says, "For whom he did foreknow, he also did predestinate to be conformed to the image of his Son, that he might be the firstborn among many brethren." So the simple fact, this Jesus Christ that we claim as a Savior is a living person that is sealed inside of you if you're saved, born again. He loves you with a personal love that nothing you do in the soul or body can change that. We just read that over in Romans. Nothing can separate you from the love of Christ. Now, if we don't fellowship with him, we're not acting like children, and so our love, his love for us never changes. He just can't deal with us as like obedient children. And you know, that says that in Hebrews chapter 12. He loves you with a personal love, and he looks every day for the personal response of your love to him. He desires that. Spend some time looking into his face with trust, just there for a little bit. And spend a little enough time there till his love really shines in your heart. And we think that it takes hours. It doesn't. It doesn't. Make his heart glad by telling him that you do truly love him. I like that song. I've had people say, well, I think it's arrogant to be saying, oh, how I love Jesus. Really? That's arrogant? Now, I guess you can say it with non-feeling or everything, but you know what? That should be our praise to him. How much? There's not a person in here that doesn't like to be told they're loved. I don't care how macho you think you are, you like to be told you're loved. He does too. He does too. Make his heart glad by just telling him how you do truly love him. And maybe, Lord, if you'll help me today, I would just like to do something like Sam Gipp says that would put a smile on your face. Yeah. We're always to him seeing what he can do for us. Well, just 5 minutes or so and it'll all be about him. Huh? That's when fellowship gets good. It's about him. I know there's a lot of time that we just need to draw an air. We're lonely, we're hurting, we're about to go ballistic. And he knows that. He offers himself to you as a personal savior and keeper from the power of sin. And not only from the power of sin, but just of the fellowship with him. He's just not to take care of your sin, but he's a comforter. He's a comforter. That is his name. That we don't get. We understand, just like he's a God of salvation, but not of life. He's a God that will forgive me sin, but he's just God of comfort. And this is a day and age when we're going to need a lot of comfort. We need to know that he's a God that deals with sin, that he's a God that deals with salvation and everything, but he's a God of comfort. That's in these last days, that's where it's going to be important. You can come on up and let. Is he your savior just as your savior from hell? Or is he your life? And that's what we got. Folks, he doesn't require a lot. Sometimes you have to spend 5 or 10 minutes with him, drive him to work. That's okay. Yeah. That's okay. Or whatever, but find that time and learn to casting all your cares upon him, for he cares for you. Get as low as you can for just a few minutes, because the lower you get, the more he's exalted. And he likes that. He likes that. Amen? Got a song?